you said, I'm going to be producing or presenting a paper on initial findings and some background information on a project that we're working on concerning on-site power production of electricity at cotton gins in the state of Texas. I'd like to recognize my co-authors here, Drs. Calvin Parnell and Caporetta and Russell McGee. So we're getting into a situation, and it hasn't been any kind of surprise that power supply, either in terms of demand or in terms of price, is increasing, and the potential price of electricity for ginning cotton and natural gas for drying of the cotton is going up. As you can see here on this chart, the further left-hand side bar represents 9 cents per kilowatt hour for electricity and a subsequent $4 cost per bale. That's a result of the average cost in the 2007 cost survey that was mentioned before. And some reports around the state are showing prices of 15 cents per kilowatt hour in some places. And you can see the subsequent rise in the electricity portion of the cost per bale for variable cost of ginning, and increase in the 25 cents per kilowatt hour and what it could do in terms of percent increase in variable cost per bale of about 31%. So this research project has a goal of implementing and designing an on-site power plant for cotton production and having a business plan for it from more of the management perspective. In terms of the electricity costs that are either avoided or displaced, eliminating the reliance on power utilities. We have our own power. We can gin when we want, and we don't have to worry about when we're going to get power in the future. And also the potential sale of excess power that we produce with the excess gin trash that we have. So the fluidized bed gasifier design by these people from the mid-80s and continual updates going on right now consists of a fluidized bed gasifier reactor that converts the cotton gin trash that's brought into the gins at a reliable rate of about 10% efficiency to electricity, and the increase after that have potential too. Some of the regulatory policy that goes into this and assists us in the preparation for some type of system like this is the Public Utilities Regulatory Policies Act that was enacted in the late 80s that obligates power utilities to buy and sell of excess power from a qualifying facility in terms of clean energy. And a Clean Air Act, which will now regulate greenhouse gas emissions as if they were part of that act, and raise the cost of electricity, and the renewable portfolio standard that requires power utilities to purchase a certain amount of electricity from renewable energies. So here's a schematic of the 85 design that has a fire tube boiler over here in the output where the gin trash is converted in the fluidized bed gasifier and releases synthesis gas, heat, and char as a product. The new design consists more of the same products in the upstream of the system, but a natural gas generator instead of a fire tube boiler at the end. Here's some of the assumptions that we have for the trash contents per bale. A stripper without a field cleaner, we say to be 800 pounds of gin trash. Stripped bale with cleaner, 400 pounds of gin trash per bale, and 150 pounds per bale of gin trash for a pick bale of cotton. As with other biomass residues, cotton gin trash has an average heating capacity of about 7,000 BTUs per pound. Like I said before, the conversion efficiency of this system is reliable at 10%, and the cotton gin trash can be stored for longer periods of time in stockpiles or module form. Sizing these plants and pricing them is another option or another thing we have to go into here. And through all the calculations and studies, we've rated a 20 bale per hour capacity gin to need 1 megawatt of power, sustainable power, at a cost of $1 million per megawatt. So 20 bale per hour plant of power plant would be $1 million. Power plant for 40 bale per hour would be $2 million, and so on and so forth. Variable costs for the prices for this analysis were estimated in terms of seasonal labor, repair, and feedstock cost, and fixed costs were estimated as a percentage of the initial cost in terms of management, annuity, and taxes and insurance, and those type of things. Traditionally, a harvesting method has been an issue in gins. We're going to more and more stripped bales with field cleaners and picked cotton. And subsequently, some producers are being charged in some places to bring in, when they're bringing in high trash content modules. But it, as you can see here, for the 150 pounds for the picked bale, 400 pounds for a stripped with cleaner bale, and a 800 pounds for a stripper bale without field cleaner, the production of electricity with those harvester configurations and methods, the cost of that actually goes down as the price of as the trash content per bale goes up. And what that means is, you know, in general terms, we're spacing out more costs over more units of production and lowering that overall cost. So there's potential incentive to bring in more gin trash as opposed to now not having as much as we used to. So the advantage of this, like I said before, we're taking a product in gin trash that is typically not brought in anything but minimal profits to the gin, and using it to make a more valuable product. So there will be no more disposal cost. It's actually going to be, you know, disposal profit if you want to look at it that way. Transportation costs, the traditional problems with biomass conversion as opposed to wind energy and solar energy is the high transportation cost of getting it to the plant, and we don't have to worry about that now either. And the market reliability and flexibility is another big thing. As opposed to wind and solar, once again, we're not waiting on a natural phenomenon with this type of power production. So although we can't compete for firm capacity contracts of 50 plus megawatts like wind and solar farms have, we can hit niche markets in terms of short-term, day-ahead, week-ahead markets that they can't hit, because the operation of this plant is at the discretion of the managers, not at the discretion of a natural occurrence. So the three scenarios I'm going to go over here are a power production for the gin only, the gin's requirement only, a production for the gin's requirement, and the sale of excess power if the feedstock is there, and continuous power production, more of a year-round situation. And I'm almost positive that last year at the Beltwide I heard a ruckus right behind my presentation too. I don't know what it is with me being up here, but so here's a chart that shows 40 bale per hour gin for 3% utilizations, and the production and overall tons of gin trash incoming in relation to how many pounds of gin trash per bale that's coming in. And as you can see, scenario ones, S1s, the points where the two lines cross, are the point the amount of gin trash per bale that would be required at each of those percent utilizations to only suffice for the amount of electricity requirement that the gin has. And as we get over here into the upper right-hand side of this, we're dealing with more gin trash than we actually need for full displacement of electricity at our 10% conversion efficiency. So the sale of that would be ideal to make more money, okay? So that's when we get into scenarios 2 and 3. Like I said before, the most profit potential is in the short-term markets on account of the fact that we can't compete for firm capacity contracts with the bigger renewable farms. So we would utilize the free fuel source, aka what comes in terms of the bales we're already bringing in, and purchase more if needed. Well, as you can see from this chart, we might have more than we need anyway without purchasing any extra. So interconnection with a grid is key to selling that excess power. Now, what we decided, again, if you can compete for those short-term prices and bids, then you can pretty much do it anytime you want. So, you know, what if we can purchase electricity at 9 cents per kilowatt hour in the wintertime, and when the summertime comes and the irrigation wells are running, electricity's high because of air conditioning, then we'll sell the electricity for a premium rate then. So that's kind of what we're looking at, and we're going to go into more of that, you know, by analyzing potential buyers. How, you know, we've got some right now that say, hey, we'll give you 8 cents per kilowatt hour. Traditionally, it's been more of an avoided cost rate that they can pay you, but since requirements are becoming more stringent for power suppliers to have part of their power in the form of renewable energies, then we're dealing with a lot more potential than we have in the past in terms of this project. Like I said, understanding interconnection principles and the cost of doing that, potentially utilizing syngas in in the drying process too. If we have excess syngas, we're not using as much electricity per bale as we thought we were going to. Maybe we could use some for drying. Potential markets for activated carbon. One thing that's new to this project is that the char that's removed from the gasification process can be activated with a steam bath and become in the form of activated carbon that's used in industrial cleanups and things like that. So there might be more potential residual profit from those types of things that will make this even more viable. Currently, right now, the bioenergy team at A&M has got a mobile version of this power plant in the works that's going to go around the state and in areas, gasifying gen trash, showing how the gas is produced, running it through the series of natural gas generators that will be used to produce the power. And hopefully, my business plan and the management side of things as opposed to engineering things goes along with that so generators can understand the potentials of reducing or completely displacing electricity. So in summary, what we have found out is that there's a reliable, viable system to take what is sufficient energy in cotton gin trash that was free in the red figures that we're trying to get rid of, and use that, convert it to electricity, and either displace or completely get rid of our requirement of electricity from power utilities in multiple different scenarios. Keys to it: excess power can be sold. We know that can happen. It's going to take some coordination with power suppliers, and it's going to be a very situational type of thing that goes on. But there is potential there, and we're going to find out how to do it. And also, future legislation and regulation, as well as current, is putting more stringent requirements and limits on emissions of greenhouse gases, and therefore raising the cost of power production. Population's getting bigger. Power's going to go to more urban areas first before it comes to rural areas. And if we can't gin cotton, then there's no reason even growing it. So this has potential for implementation in the future and helping us out in the ginning industry. I'd like to thank these supporters here, Cotton Incorporated, Cotton Chair of Texas A&M University, Cotton Foundation, Texas AgriLife Research, and especially Kelly Green and Bill Thomas for their personal communication and additions to this project. Thank you once again for listening today. Copies of this paper, hard copies of it, are available on our website, as you can see here. And thank you again. Everybody have a good day. Corey, thank you. Yes, sir.